Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Thank you, Lord. Yahweh, your name is great. You are the great I am. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, as I was in my devotion time this week, the word I kept hearing from the Lord was surrender. And the challenge that I had, and I really felt was for me, was that he's challenging me, and I believe he's challenging all of us, to lead a life of surrender, to live a life of surrender. Surrender to him. And one of the things that I felt that he revealed to me was one of the things that prevents us from leading that life of surrender is distractions. We have so many distractions in our life. And these things can prevent us from living that life of surrender. And I know for me, there's lots of distractions. And I believe that this is for us individually, because if we can learn to live a life of surrender individually, then imagine what can happen when we come together like this corporately. When there is a spirit and an attitude of surrender in this place as a group of people. And to me, when that scripture talked about that there's power in unity, that, I believe, is the secret. When we can come together with hearts and minds surrendered to him, and we can walk in that unity and that power. And I know that I can't do this. My prayer was, God, I know I can't do this without you. I can't give up those distractions without your help. I can't live that life of surrender without your help. And so my challenge to us this week is in your prayer time, ask the Lord, am I leading a life of surrender? Be prepared for the answer. And then ask him, what are my distractions? And then ask him to give you the help to overcome those distractions. So, Father, I do pray for all of us now. I'm so thankful that you are the great I am. You are the overcomer of all. And I pray, Father, I pray for myself, I pray for us individually, and I pray for us corporately, Father, that you would teach us how to live a life of surrender. You would teach us how to walk in steps of surrendering. And Father, that we would see the benefits of that individually and corporately. So we trust you, Father. I pray this week, this coming week, as we go out, that you would speak to us. Show us things in our life that we need to surrender. Show us the distractions in our life that we're holding on to. I pray for great revelation to your family and your body this week. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Do me a favor. We're having lots of new people coming to visit. Please, look around, find somebody you don't know, and just say hi and welcome them here today. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. How are we doing? Survived the cold, did we? Yeah, it went from nice to 25 below or whatever it is today. Is it warming up? Yeah. It'll be warmer by May, I promise. Way warmer by May. Hey, all of you that you're new or even long-term members, you might have noticed we're making some changes in our children's ministry, the check-in process. We have these little sweet little key fobs is what they call them. They have little doodads. What are those called? Barcodes? Oh, yeah. It's been around since the 70s or 80s. Okay. These barcodes on the back, and that'll kind of code it to you. This is supposed to streamline the whole process. But the problem is today is we're just switching over to this whole new system. So please forgive us if it was kind of all backed up. We're working hard to get all the kinks worked out so that you can get your kids in and out of our ministries with ease. That is our goal. So we really think this system's going to work well. So just be patient with our team. It was an enormous amount of information to transfer over. And, the program we're using is the best one out there. But let's just say there's not a lot of competition in the Christian world for this kind of stuff. So, yeah, unless one of you wants to invent the sweetest one, you know, out there for checking kids in and out, go for it. I think there's a market for computer engineers. Go team. Give us a discount when you get it done, right? All right. So anyway, we think it's going to work out great, and just be patient with us and keep working hard to get your kids in there. If you come early, even to prayer, you come early, you could check your kids in early. You might actually get a jump start on it. All right, we ready? 2 Peter chapter 2. Doing a little mini series here on spiritual growth. So chapter 2, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 3. Here we go. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need. Say everything. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Everything you need. That's the title of my message today. Everything we need. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Again, we exalt you as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us, in us, alive in us. God, we are believing today you're going to transform us and ignite our hearts and help us to grow spiritually. Lord, we pray that we would know you more. And in that, God, we would become to live like you more. We believe, God, we can live a life of moral excellence because of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, everything we need. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? It isn't just part of what we need, or a little bit, or most of what we need. It says everything we need to do two key things that from the promises of what God has done. There's two key things that he tells us, and we got to hone in on these things. And in verse 4, he says that we're able to share, right? Share in his divine nature. Isn't that beautiful? To think that you and I, we can share in his divine power or his divine nature. And this, just for clarification, it's not that some people would twist this scripture and say that we could become like gods ourselves, or become gods, or we will be of divine nature, as in you'll be like, you know, some sort of demigod or something. I don't know, right? Zeus or, you know, Hermes or whoever. I don't even know all those. I'm sure they didn't get it from the Bible, but you know what I'm saying? This isn't that you and I could be Jesus, like of our own planet or some kind of weird, you know, space theology like that, but that you and I can share in the actual divine nature who is Christ. We get to tap into it. We get to partake of it. We get to use it as it dwells and lives within us. And it gives us the ability to escape the world's corruption. Isn't that awesome? So we get to share and we get to escape. We get to share and we get to escape. It's awesome. It's awesome. God doesn't leave you a prisoner to your sin. God doesn't leave you entrapped to your sinful ways. God has given you the ability to share in His divine nature everything you need to live a life of moral excellence. A godly life. This word, this phrase, a godly life, it means a life of moral excellence. Isn't that great? So I know that there's a lot, we teach a lot about the grace of God in this church. We really believe in the divine power living in us and moving through us to live a godly life. Not to do whatever we want. Right? We're not bound by a big set of rules anymore. That's great. We are bound by the blood of Jesus, this intimate knowing relationship that is with Christ that empowers us to live a life of moral excellence. Why? Why? Because we get to partake of the promises. Those promises give us the ability to live this life. And in those promises, when we live this moral and this godly life, we benefit from it. Right? We get to benefit from this godly lifestyle because it begins to produce this beautiful fruit, this positive fruit all around us that comes back as a blessing to us. The Bible says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be given back to us in the measure we give, right? So when we give and when we partake of this divine nature, when we live in this, it begins to produce tremendous fruit, and that is a blessing for us. And it just as big of a blessing is that we get the opportunity to escape from the world's corruptions. I mean, big flash newsreel right now that we live in a world that is full of moral corruption. I don't necessarily think, as some people might, that it's more corrupt now than it's been in the past. I really don't believe that. I just think it's more visible now than it's ever been. And there's more people on the planet now, right? So there's more people behaving the same way they've always behaved, and it's all on TV. Right? It's on the internet and YouTube or wherever else you want to go. We used to just be worried about walking through the malls or going, you know, through the grocery store or the news rack. And now it's like, you got to be careful just watching commercials, right? And you got to be careful just turning on your computer. The world around us is in decay. It always has been. Before Jesus, from the time of the fall to now. It's always been in decay. And it's very visible. Right? But you and I, we get a get out of jail free card. I love that card in Monopoly, don't you? You go around and you're like, get out of jail free card. You land on it, you're like, that don't mess with me. You just plop that sucker down, keep going on. You get escape. God gave you the ability to escape all of this disaster of a world that's around us. And He gave you the divine power to tap into so you can live this life of moral excellence. So if you've been believing a lie that the grace of God has empowered you to live however you want and live like the world, you've been entrapped. You're missing out on the promises of God. The Bible tells us so clearly that we have the ability to tap into this divine nature so that we can live a life of moral excellence because that's what's best for us. Amen? Amen. Come on, church. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to know you're there. We're here. You know, I don't know about you, but when I go shopping and I'm looking, you know, to buy a product, you know, I love the products that say batteries included. Right? All things included. Everything you need for this project is in the box. IKEA, one of the greatest furniture store revolutions of our time. You go there and you walk out with a box. It has everything you would ever need to put what's in there together. It's genius. Wife says, I want a bed. You say, IKEA. Everything you need to finish the project. Like, we don't. She says, I want a bed. She doesn't want a bed. She wants to sleep. Are you with me? She wants to put her kids to bed. That's what she wants a bed for. Amen. Freedom. And nap time, bedtime, freedom in the name of Jesus. It's a promise that's in the Bible. When I buy a drill, I don't want a drill so it makes me look cool like Handy Manny, right? I want a hole in the wall. I want boards screwed together, right? I want that product to do something for me. See, now listen, you and I, we might look at the package and we make a decision between all included or not. And we're like, well, I want the drill that's got all the batteries with it. I don't got to go buy more, right? I want the smoke alarm that's got a battery in it. So when I go home, I just plug it in, hang it on the wall. See, in Christ, it's just like that package. The Bible tells us clearly that we have that promise. It's all included. Everything you need. When you choose Him, you get everything you need. Everything you need to live a life of moral excellence and escape. It's beautiful. See, with Christ, just like these promises found in Him, these are, when it says the great and precious promises, it really means costly. Like, costly is part of this phrase and understanding. If you read a little bit more into the Greek here, you see costly and great promises. These aren't promises that were just cheap and of no value. So like when you're thinking about your product that you get and everything's included, to God, what He gave to us with our relationship with Jesus, all included, it was costly. It was great. It was of great measure. And these promises, you know, because of His glory and His excellence, He has given us great and precious, costly promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by humans' desires. These promises surely include the Lord's second coming, the establishment of the new heaven and the new earth, entrance into His kingdom, that we may, and the purpose of these promises, above all, the purpose of these promises is that we may share in a deep and spiritual union with Christ, thereby partaking in the blessings and benefits of that relationship. Say it simpler. You and I, when we partake in the promises of God, we get to have this deep and spiritual union and relationship with Jesus. Right? And all the benefits that come from that relationship. And just last week, we were talking about to know Christ is to grow in Him. To know is to grow. And our responsibility is to stay planted with the Lord and intimate with God and pursuing Him and allow Him to water our souls. Stay rooted in Him. Right? And spend time with Him. And He expands us. He grows us. You know this, I say it all the time, what you focus on grows. What you focus on expands. Remember, the great purpose behind those promises is that He can know you and you can know Him. Not just you can serve Him. He wants to walk with you. Right, church? He wants to know you. How beautiful that God set us up in a way that our Christianity, our life with Him, wouldn't be a bunch of rules and regulations we have to fulfill so that we can be saved, so that we can know Him, and we can spend eternity with Him. Isn't it beautiful that when we choose Jesus, it's all included? Everything from salvation to living the life that He says we must live, that He desires for us to live, that He designed us to live in. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. We see God as the great finisher. That what he starts, he always finishes, right? Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God, Paul says. And I always pray for you and I make my requests with a heart full of joy because you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am sure that God, who began a good work in you, will continue his work until it is finished, finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. He wants to finish it. He wants to finish this work in you to live this life of moral excellence, and he gave you most of what you need to do it. What did he give you? Everything, all, everything you need to do it. I'm just seeing if you're listening. I don't know. Now, I'm going to give you just a, I could probably preach for a month or 2 months straight just on this one passage of the Bible because it's so thick and soupy. But we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. And I want to give some backup for this because, you know, we can read this one passage and you just say, oh, pastor, you read 2 verses in the Bible. And okay, sure, I have enough. And you might not really believe you have everything you need. Because, you know, when we look at the obstacles in our life, we will look at the gap between us and living a life of moral excellence or a life that where we're walking in purity. Those obstacles can seem very difficult and very hard to us. Am I right? Am I the only one who's struggled through sin in my life? I'm the only one here. Okay. Yikes. Listen, the obstacles are real. The opposition is real. The gaps between the way God says we can live and the way we do live, usually there's some pretty decent sized gaps between those two things, right? But I want to encourage you that this is a promise. This is living in you. This is something that we're designed to strive for and to work toward and to live in by the power of God, okay? By the power of his divine nature. We strive in it, in his divine nature. It's a beautiful partnership, not in works and just wearing yourself out, but striving in his divine nature, in intimacy and growing with him. You with me? So here we go. I'm going to back this up with some theology here, you might say, or some deeper doctrine in chapter 8, verse 1. As we talk about this, you have to know, verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. How do you belong to Christ Jesus? Uh-oh. We're in trouble. How do you belong to Christ Jesus? You choose him. You receive him. Right? You receive the relationship that he made a way for. Say, Jesus, I choose you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. I repent for my sin. Come dwell inside of me. You're my master. Empower me by your Holy Spirit to live a life of moral excellence and fulfill your will. I mean, it's a relationship. We ignite that relationship by receiving who he is and what he has done. Jesus, right? So when you do that, he now has made a home inside of you and he has bought you and you are his son and his daughter in Christ. And there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus. You choose him. He's already chosen you. Now you belong. You're a part of the family. If you're in the family, no matter all the sin you've got going on, you belong to him. There's no condemnation. So I want you to get a different picture of when you see your sin and you see this gap and you see this desire to live a life of moral excellence, that you don't first start in toxic shame and condemnation of yourself. But we move past that and beyond that to the hope of living this godly life that produces great fruit. Verse 2, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Has freed you. Post tense here. Like, this is done. This work is over and finished in you when you make this relationship with Jesus. It's done. So you can't walk in condemnation because in the relationship of belonging to him, you've been freed from the power of the sin and death. So it no longer has the power over you unless you give it power. So if you know that's the truth and you go, why am I feeling so powerless to this sin? Why do I feel trapped? Listen, it's because somehow, some way, we're giving power to the enemy. This is why I recommend counseling. This is why I go to counseling. Am I the only one that knows I'm screwed up? Right? I know how screwed up I am, so I get help all the time. Because I want to live this life. I know I shouldn't be in prison to it, but I need to find out why I am. Are you with me? You with me? Okay. Here we go. Verse 5. Those, I'm just going to jump around here so we don't get lost. They focus just on this. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Holy Spirit. Here's a good starting place. Where do you think? Where do you think you think? Right? Where do you think you think? Think about that. And then, if you're thinking about the things you shouldn't be thinking about, then start thinking about things you should be thinking about. Think. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Not spiritual death and separation from Jesus, but in the context, we're talking about death in life, fruitful death. You're living a life that isn't producing godly fruit, okay? Not your sin leads you to hell. Jesus saved you from hell, from your sin. He took that punishment on himself. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. If you want to live a life of moral excellence, let the Holy Spirit control your mind. Think on the things you should think on. The Holy Spirit. Listen to him. Spend time with him. God, what do you want me to think about? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do today? Build a real relationship with him where you actually talk and you don't just tell him how terrible you are all the time. God, I'm so bad today. All I do is just this sin. And I know I'm displeasing you. Like he doesn't know. You just got to tell him all that. He died before you were born. You didn't even exist in your mom's mind or your dad's mind. And he died for you. And he saw it all. And he did it anyway because he wants that relationship. So when you come into relationship with him, don't focus on your sin. You'll make it grow. You're still focusing on sin, not the life of moral excellence. Focus on your relationship with Jesus. He says, when I expand in you, when the knowledge of me expands in you, you grow spiritually. Right? And that's what we need. Let's get our eyes fixed on the holy God who is holy, who is living in you. And let that expand. And the more you see him, the more you know him, the more your relationship is intimate with him and you feel his presence communicating with you, then you're going to desire to do things that are godly. It's going to happen. It's a byproduct. Living godly is a byproduct of intimacy with Jesus. Yes, there are hangups. Yes, there are holdups. Yes, you need counseling. Okay? Yes. To get that stuff cleared out in your brain. To get yourself out of the way of the power of God working in you. We're the ones that hold ourselves back from growing. It's just the reality. It's not him. But as we know him in our sin, as we know him in our brokenness, as we know him where we've been damaged and traumatized and hurt and broke, then he begins to heal those places. But if we're in denial, which we'll talk about in a minute, to those areas and those issues, then we won't move forward. Because we're not willing to really look at who we are in relationship to Jesus in every aspect. We must. For the sinful nature, verse 7, always is hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it still never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you, okay, you live in Christ. You belong to him, right? You belong. Or you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. So if you belong to him, then You have the Spirit of God living in you. This passage is not saying that all the Christians in the world are supposed to turn around and look at one another and judge whether or not they're behaving rightly, to judge whether or not the Spirit of God is in them. Are you with me? Like, I can't look at my wife and say, well, because you're just sinning and you're just not doing all the stuff the Bible says you're supposed to do, Jesus must not live in you, girl. I don't know. It's not what it's telling us to do here. It's not saying you need to do anything with this. Paul's trying to give us the understanding here that, listen, if you belong to Jesus, you can live for God. And those that don't belong to Jesus and he isn't there, they can't. But if he does live in you, you can. So why aren't you? You don't have to be in prison. Why are you in prison? It's just like the Israelites when they leave Egypt. And they're out in the desert, and they're free, and they're headed to the promised land, and the promised land is promised. It's the promised land. Hello, right? And they're out there whining and complaining, and they go, we just go back to Egypt. I just want to go back to bondage. Can you imagine what God would be looking and just going, what? You were a slave. That's no fun. I don't want to be a slave. You don't have to be a slave. He gets us out of prison and gives us every all-included package, everything we need to do it all, live in him. And we go, no, I just want to go back to prison. Put me back in there. I feel more comfortable there. I don't feel comfortable out here sharing this intimate relationship I have with Jesus. You know, so many times, one of the greatest barriers between us living a life of moral excellence and not is our fear of people judging us for living righteously. We're not standing up and just saying, I just can't do that. Listen, I got a relationship with Jesus. I know that you're choosing to do that, but man, there's something in me that I just can't do that. I don't want that because that's not for me. I love you, and I'm not telling you need to do anything. I'm saying that my relationship with Jesus is so important to me and so real, I cannot live that way. Most of the time, we're afraid to do that, so we compromise and we stay in prison. We stay hidden, and we get ourselves around these things. Because we know we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. We're supposed to be in the world and make these relationships, but we build these relationships in the wrong way. We're not actually supposed to be in fellowship with the world. Just in it as a light to the world. Loving the world. Living a life of moral excellence to the world. Not to hang it over their heads and say, why don't you do this? But to be able to show them my intimate, loving relationship with Jesus is so powerful, it causes me to live a life of moral excellence, of godliness. It causes me to be that way. And I want you to have that relationship with him too, because it's so awesome. You don't have to live in prison. That's the good news. That's why the gospel is called the good news. You get to go to heaven. You get to live a life of moral excellence. That's awesome. That's good news. You don't have to be a slave in prison to sin with all of its consequences. That's really good news. You get to escape. You get to escape. You get to live and you get to escape. How much better can it get? Goes on to say, let's just go to verse, where was I at? Verse 9? All right. Verse 10, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You hear that? No obligation anymore. You don't. If you do give in to it, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, which we all do. We'll start pointing fingers, right? If God gave a highlight reel of all of our lives, we'd all hide under the chairs and we'd run for our lives, run and never come out. I'd go out in the cabin in Homer or something, right? Grow a really big beard. There's no obligation and there's no condemnation. So know the hope that's in you. You don't have to live the way your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. I didn't put these in my notes, but here's a couple more. It says in verse 26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. The Father knows the hearts, all hearts, and knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Pray in the Holy Spirit. This is where us charismatics always say, pray in the Holy Spirit, because He knows exactly what to pray for. He intercedes for you, because He knows He's your helper. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our helper, right? And we need Him sometimes, and we don't even know what to do. God gave us the Holy Spirit to pray for us when we don't even know what to pray for. That's how awesome He is. I'm telling you, all included, everything you need. Even when you don't know what to say, because we don't know. Just pray in the Holy Spirit. A lot of people are confused about praying in tongues. This is the main purpose right here. He intercedes for you when you're desperate and upside down and don't know what to do. And your brain isn't smart enough to figure it out. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Verse 37 goes on to all these things. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Verse 37. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. More than conquerors is what most versions of the Bible say. More than conquerors. You and I are more than conquerors. I've taught a message on this. That this word here in the Greek is called hupernikeo, which means super victorious. Super victorious. That means you get on the field of battle and what's in you is so awesome. There isn't even a fight to be seen. It's already won before you show up. That's how awesome that is. More than a conqueror, more than you need to be victorious in everything that Christ has asked of us. So I pretty much have positioned us in this whole message in a place here where you got no excuses, right? You and I, we're pinned into a corner here and we realize we got no excuses. There's no more excuses left on the table. And so many times we find ourselves throwing out excuses like, well, I could have done that, but I'll get to it when, you know, this happens. And once this happens, then I'll be able to. Right. And if that person hadn't done this, then I wouldn't have responded this way. Right. Once I get this thing, then it'll all work out. Right. We're always waiting and living these lives of ifs and thens, and buts and whats. Right. But we know when we're looking at the truth of God's word, there are no excuses. There is no obligation to live according to our sinful nature. There is only the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to live a life of moral excellence, a godly life. When we see that, we can't use these statements to leverage or to explain away the truth about ourselves or to look at the obstacle in front of us. So we use these statements to transition or to do a little magic trick. So like, instead of you looking here, I go, and you don't look at me. I like go, hey, here, what about this? But there's this big obstacle. And what about that person? He's persecuting me. And right? Instead of like looking at the truth of who I am and where I'm really at, and instead I use these transitional statements that like transition and they move the thing off of me to this little magic trick I'm doing over here. And we all start talking, oh, you're right. There is a big obstacle in front of you. I never saw that. Right? Oh, and yeah, that big bad person. Oh, he's such a bad pastor. Can you believe he would do that to you? And then we make all these excuses and we transfer it all off of ourselves onto some little thing we're spinning over here. And everybody looks at that and then we just sneak away. We're like, oh, whew, they didn't see. I got out of that one. We all do this. And I'm not saying you do it all the time. I'm saying it happens in our lives, right? And this is the thing that I want you to think. Is don't fall for your own magic trick. This is all I'm trying to say. Don't like, oh, pastor taught me that, and now I see other people doing that, and you like just start pointing at everybody. Like, no, don't fall for other people's magic tricks, but you don't got to point it out to everybody. Just don't fall for your own magic trick. Okay? We do this to ourselves, and I've done this to myself. I can't even count how many times. And when I spend a lot of time in counseling, as a pastor of this church, okay? And I'm going to continue to do counseling because I'm a pastor of a church. I want to be a good pastor, okay? And I want to keep my heart, my mind pure and clean. And I want to make sure I don't fall for my own magic tricks. This seems reasonable to me, right? God says he gives grace to the humble, power to the humble. Well, that's how I want to live. Do you want to live that way? I can't even believe how many of my own magic tricks I fell for so many years. And through the help, confess your sins one to another so you may be healed. The help of others in my life, brothers and sisters in my life that I've allowed close to me, my wife, they help me see my own magic tricks. Don't fall for your own magic trick. The Bible shows us this little smoke and mirrors deal here in James chapter 1, verse 22. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like looking at your face in the mirror but doing nothing to improve your appearance. What do they say? If the barn needs painting, paint it. Right? You see yourself and walk away and forget what you look like. But if you keep looking steadily into God's perfect law, the law that sets you free, and this is, we're talking about new covenant God's law, his life and love living in you, not Ten Commandments. Are you with me? Okay. Don't get lost there. We always want to go back to Ten Commandments and old covenant living. No, new covenant law in love, where you're empowered to live a life of love, empowered to live a godly life in Christ, all that you need, everything you need. And if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. There is a blessing for behavior that is rooted in God's love and his nature. There is a blessing and there's fruit on the other end. I want that fruit. Don't be the person who falls for your own magic tricks, your own smoke and mirrors. When you look in the mirror and you've got a giant chunk of what you were eating for lunch in your teeth, don't walk away without doing something about it. Like, really, I don't want to know what you had for lunch without asking you. It's like in your beard, you know, in your teeth. Well, that was a good poppy seed muffin, wasn't it? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Hey, there's a poppy seed muffin in your teeth. You might want to pull that out. Hey, you got some mayonnaise on your beard, bro. You might want to wipe that out before you go talk to other people, right? Don't look at yourself and then just pretend like you didn't see what you really saw. Don't do that. Don't get one of those three-way mirrors that you have in the bathroom where you're like, look, and you go, whoa! You get seeing the top and the back, you're like, whoa, you just turn them where you don't want to see the parts that aren't the stuff you really need to look at. Right? And when your friend loves you enough to turn the mirror gently and lovingly and say, hey, look, here's some things that I can see in you, and I care about you. Are you willing to see those things? And you see them, and because of pride and desire to live comfortably in prison to your sin, you turn away and forget what you saw. Don't fall for your own tricks. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Everything we need. Everything we need. Can we pray? Father, thank You for Your word. God, I'm just praying that today Your word will take deep root in our hearts and lives. There'll be nothing to shift or change that. God, I'm asking that You'll just provide through Your divine nature an avenue for us to live godly, to live a life of moral excellence, a life, God, that is like no other that we could have imagined. God, a life that bears tremendous fruit and that we see You do miracle after miracle in and through us. In and through us, God. Thank You, Jesus. If there's anybody here today, you're like, Pastor, I hear you talking about this relationship with Jesus, and I want that. I want that relationship. We know the Bible tells us that those, all of us who have lived, we have sinned and missed God's mark. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But if you're not in Christ Jesus and you have not received Him as your Lord and Savior and made Him the master of your life, then you are in condemnation. And the reality is that sin that you have lived in your life, you're responsible for. And that sin will separate you from God, because we'll pay the price for the sin that we justly should. But the good news is this, is just when you were in the courtroom, just right now, being you have to give payment for that sin, and that sin and that penalty is death. Jesus came and He died for you. And He came into that courtroom and He paid the price for you so that you could live a life of moral excellence and a life of intimacy with God for eternity. And no longer be destined for hell, but live in heaven for eternity. That's how good He is. That's how good He is. The Bible says in Romans 8 that you are now a son, an heir, a daughter of the King of Kings. You now belong to Him. You might have felt, I don't belong anywhere. But I'm telling you today, you have an opportunity to choose Jesus because you belong to Him. You do. It's very simple. You make a decision today. Jesus, I want You to be the Lord of my life. I repent for my sin. And I ask You as my Savior to come and cleanse me of my sin. And I choose to live a life for You. Now, if everybody could just bow your heads for a moment. And if you're here in this room and it's your, and you want to make a commitment to Jesus, possibly for the first time, I want to encourage you to slip your hand up. When I count to three, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. And I want you to be bold. One. There is no better time than right now. Two, He is the one who saved you, who bought you, who loved you. Three, just lift your hand. Anybody here? Jesus, I want to make You the Lord of my life. Be bold. Thank You. Amen. Anybody else? Yes. Thank You. Anyone else? Jesus, I want to choose You. We've still got time. It's okay. This is why we come. This is why we hear the word. Anybody else? Jesus, I want to choose You. Amen. Thank You. Thank You. Let's pray, church. Those of you who chose and you decided you want to give your heart to the Lord, want to encourage you after we pray that you'll come down and you'll meet here in the front. And some of our care pastors and pastors on our team will have a chance to just encourage you. And we can get you a Bible, and we have a packet of information to help you grow in Christ. So everybody, let's pray. And we're going to pray together as a church family. And for those of you who really are, this is your first time you're going to decide, I want you to really pray from your heart. Lord Jesus, let's all pray. Lord Jesus, today I choose you. You are my God. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. I believe, Jesus, you are God. You came to this earth to die for me. You rose again to live for me and make a way for me to know the Father in eternity. Rescue me from my sin. Set me on a path that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 At least four people gave their heart to Jesus today. I really want to encourage you, those of you that lifted your hand, I'm going to leave it like this for you because I want you to step out and be bold without me pulling on you. I want you to be bold and step out as a first step in Christ to tell somebody in this church, I gave my heart to Jesus. I gave my heart to Jesus today. Can you help me grow in Him? And then if they ask you, church, you better be ready to help them. Because that's your job, is to be a discipler, isn't it? He said to everybody, go and make disciples. Help them grow in the basics of Christianity. It's that simple. And especially, I want you to go back to our information booth and make sure you walk away with a new believer's packet. We have one of those ready, right, Frank? New believer's packets are ready? Oh, they're in the works. We're going to find something back there. Highlighters, pens. We got Bibles, right? Oh, yeah, we got Bibles. We're going to give you something. High fives. We have new believer packets coming, so maybe in the next week or so, you can grab one of those too. But we have Bibles for you. Will you stand, church? Just one more time, I'd like to close in prayer and just thank God for what He's done. Jesus, thank you for the new souls and the life that you are just renewing inside of them, and for you making a way for them, and the experience that we've all experienced, God, those that have chosen you. It's such an awesome experience. It's such an awesome feeling to finally know what we're made for and to whom we belong. So God, I pray for just a blessing over their life, God, that their lives will be fruitful. You'll protect them from the hand of the enemy. God, that you'll do a mighty work in their life. And God, everything they put their hands to will prosper. Help them to grow in your word and to grow in their knowledge and understanding of you, Jesus. God, bless this church. God, let the people in this church rise up and become powerful disciplers for you. God, we love you. I pray that every day and each day, God, we will just live a life of moral excellence and godly living because you gave us everything we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love you, church. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a great week. Survive the cold.